Hey, David, you're not the only one sometimes that forgets to turn up my mic. I was halfway through my introduction at the wedding yesterday, and all of a sudden the guy threw my mic on. So I had to start back over because nobody heard a word I said. All right, Luke chapter 5. Let's read it again. Came about while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God. He was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding I will let down the nets." And when he had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Did you see it? Oh, about verse 8. Peter realizes that he is not in the presence of your everyday run-of-the-mill individual. Peter, knowing he's not perfect, knowing he had just even questioned the master just a little bit, says, "I don't deserve to be in your presence. Lord, you need to go on somewhere else. You need to go find somebody else to talk to." Peter knows that if this continues, this relationship develops, he's going to mess up. Verse 11. I love it. This is our thought today. When they brought the boat to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. Peter understood. Peter understood that Jesus was not calling somebody who was perfect. And so he answers, he goes, he did the best he could do in every circumstance to please Christ. Even though he knew he was not perfect. Even though he knew he was going to mess up. Think about Noah. He builds the ark. He does, even though he messed up almost immediately after stepping off the ark. The very next story is of Noah getting drunk and passing out in his tent. Abraham, he did, even though he did not get it right every time. He doesn't accept the first call to go as far as he should. He doesn't accept the second call to go as far as he should. He struggles with the different places that he goes and acknowledging that his wife is his wife. His herdsmen have issues with Lot and so on and so on. And yet he went ahead and he did. Moses argues with Jesus, argues with God at the bush, "I'm not the right person for the job." Well, in some ways he's right. He's going to mess it up. But who doesn't? He did it anyway. Gideon was not convinced he could do the job. Samson is a hot mess, to say the least. Samson got a whole lot more things wrong than he got right. David, nowhere near perfect. Amos, didn't feel qualified. We've just looked at Peter. But they all did. Therefore, the thought, done beats perfect every time. If we wait on perfect, If I wait on perfect before I answer the call of God to go or to be fishermen or to do whatever, we will never answer the call. Perfect's not going to get here. I'm not capable of it. If I wait on perfect before I do anything, I'll never do anything. And if God has to wait on perfect before He calls for volunteers, He's just out of luck. Because that's not any of us. Romans 3 and verse 23, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, says the New Century Version. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There's no perfect. None of us in all of history have got every last detail right outside of Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ, outside of the cross, outside of the blood of the Lamb, we're never good by the definition that Christ gives. We're never perfect. We never get it all right. We're never enough in and of ourselves. We're never fully equipped. In fact, when God calls us, we're rarely equipped for the job. That's part of the call. One of the other readings in reference to Luke chapter 5 says, I will make you fishers of men. You're not ready yet, but I'm going to get you there. If, on the other hand, rather than waiting on perfect, rather than waiting on good enough or fully equipped, if I answer when He calls, if I do what Peter did and I leave it all and I go with Him, if I go, if I do, Jesus is going to make sure that the job gets done. And it gets done right. It gets done His way. So again, done. Me choosing to do and getting the job done beats perfect every time. He will equip me. Even a perfect garden from a distance has at least one weed or one bug or one rabbit. And yet it still produces. It does. It's not perfect, but it doesn't wait on perfection. It does its job. Even a, quote, perfect work of art, the trained eye is going to find a stray brush stroke or a stray pencil line. And yet what? It still creates oohs and ahs. And you can take that list and you can go all the way through this physical world. And you can put anything you want in the blank. Perfect is an illusion. Perfect is a standard that we try to reach. But from a human standpoint, it is impossible. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have flaws. And I want you to listen very, very carefully. So I don't want you to go out of here and misunderstand this. If there's any question about what I'm about to say, ask me before you leave. Make sure you get it the way I intend it. But I'm going to tell you this, even in Christ, perfect is, for lack of a better term, it is an illusion or it is misunderstood. And here's what I mean by that. So hang on, make sure you get this. Spiritually, I am perfect in God's eyes. Through the cross, when He looks at me, I am forgiven. I am covered by blood. Grace makes up the difference. So in that sense, I am perfect in God's eyes. As for the rest of me, though, guess what? I still have my flaws, don't I? Grace is covering them up. But I still have them. I've still got the imperfections. I've still got the bumps and the bruises. I still have the battles with temptation. I'm not always up to the job. Sometimes I'm Moses and I just drop the ball. The point is, do it anyway. Don't wait on perfection. Don't wait on all the bumps and the bruises to heal. Don't wait on all the scrapes to go away and all the flaws to be corrected. Just do the job that we're called to do. And don't try to wait on perfection. I mean, think about it. In evangelism, who's perfect? If you've ever held a Bible study with somebody, was there a single study that you ever had that went absolutely perfectly? You didn't miss-say something. You didn't forget the verse you were trying to turn to. Not Peter, not Paul, not the elders, not the preacher. We all stumble in some way in what we say or in whatever other way. Do it anyway. He said, I'm going to teach you to be fishers of men, and I'm going to send you into the world. Now go. Do. What about teaching? Whether you talk about in a school classroom, or you talk about in Bible school, or you talk about in vacation Bible school, who's perfect? Not one of us has all the answers. Not one of us can always remember everything we want to say. Sometimes we have trouble getting the point across. Sometimes we struggle relating to certain students. Do it anyway. Teach. Who's perfect at visiting or serving or whatever? And again, that spiritual list can go all the way down the line. And here's the thing I want you to think about, and then we're going to actually make the true application for today. We all do it in our daily lives. I mean, which one of us is perfect at work? Which one of us never mispunches a button on the register or the computer? Or if you're a machinist, which one hasn't ever misprogrammed it or mismeasured? If you're a carpenter or whatever, which one of us is absolutely flawless at work? Which one of us, if you volunteer as a coach, is perfect as a coach? So where am I going? Right here. It's Father's Day. And so I want to take that idea very quickly now and make some application. Take that principle and apply it to parenting. That done beats perfect. Which one of us is the perfect parent? Never made a single mistake. Always fair. Always on top of it. No takers. No hands. Not me, not you. Do it anyway. Kids do not expect perfect parents. Kids expect parents who are there and who do their absolute best. They're the most forgiving creatures on the face of the earth. As parents, we mess up. Sometimes we mess up a lot. We pray a lot. We ask for forgiveness a lot. Do it anyway. Be there. Do the best you can do. Learn on the fly. We're never going to perfect it. We're certainly going to try. But listen to me. We've had three, and the third one's about to be 14. So a little bit of practice. No matter how many times you do it, each child is different. Each child, each grandchild is a learning experience. It's a new challenge. You're going to have to adjust. Do it anyway. So what? What am I saying? Do what? Number one, spend time. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting in verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. Talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. I need you, number one, to love Him. I need you, number two, to focus on that. I need you, number three, to remember it and teach it to your children. Sitting at home, walking in the road, lying down. That requires time. Parents, do it. It beats perfect every time. Do it whenever possible. Do it wherever possible. Do it as often as possible. And something that parents in this modern world have to understand, it's not about time, just say, on the ball field or the court where you want your child to succeed, where you want your child to pay for your retirement one day. We're talking about doing what she wants, what he wants. And here's the thing, here's the point I'm making. We may not be the best at it. Our children may have odd tastes and odd desires and things that they want to do to draw our time out of us that just aren't a lot of fun for us. We're not going to enjoy every activity to the fullest. Do it anyway. Just be there. That's what they want. Teach. We could reread Deuteronomy chapter 6 and take that time principle and see how he's trying to get us to use our time. But instead, we're going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not make your children angry, but raise them with the training and the teaching of the Lord. Teach them formally. Those moments when you say, hey, sit down, I need to tell you something. And teach them informally. That's the idea of when you're walking in the way. Parents, you don't have to have all the answers. You're never going to have all the answers. By the way, Google doesn't have all the answers. Wikipedia doesn't have all the answers. You're going to make mistakes. Do it anyway. It is not up to this world. It's not up to the church. It's not up to our schools. It's not up to technology to teach our children. That's my job. That's our job. So do it anyway. Parents, discipline your children. Again, you could go to the same reading in Ephesians. But instead, we're going to jump to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train children to live the right way. When they're old, they will not stray from it. To train something, to train someone, you have to discipline. Parents, be the parent. Make the decisions. You're going to mess it up. It's hard to balance sometimes. It's hard to balance different children and how you discipline each one differently. Be consistent to the best of your ability, but just do it. Be the parent. Children don't want a best friend. Yes, they want to be comfortable with you. Yes, they want to be able to trust you. Yes, they want you as a friend, but they need and want a parent. What else can we add? So much. Parents, focus on their souls. Make it the priority. Hug them a lot. Pray a lot. Teach them accountability and responsibility. Outside of bringing them to the cross of Christ, teaching them accountability and responsibility will do more for them down the road than just about anything else you can do for them. Because they're going to have to learn it sooner or later. And I'm sure you can add more and more and more. But the point, done, doing it, beats perfect every time. Just get in there in everything that we do spiritually, in being fishers of men and teachers and servants, and get your hands dirty. The more you do it, the more you'll perfect it, the better you'll get at it. You won't get to the point you never make a mistake, but you'll get closer. Let God perfect the outcome. Let God handle the results. That's His job. One of us can plant, one of us can water, and God will take care of the increase. God will make sure that His Word never comes back void. And that's so true spiritually. We're never good enough to come to the cross. The cross is there because we're not good. God demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, not while we were yet good, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so if you're waiting to get good enough to deserve Jesus, it's not going to happen. Come anyway. Come and obey the gospel today. Repent of your sins and confess Him before this congregation and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're an erring Christian, don't wait to get good enough to come back. Come now and let Him fix what's broken. And then get in there and do it. Especially in our parenting. We need parents in this world. We don't need people who just produce children and leave them to this world. We need parents as we stand and sing.